Hi, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jeremy, and we are the Social Ninjas. Hi-ya!
With practice, Jeremy and I have reached the point where social anxiety doesn't control our lives. I went from being anxious to speak to people to speaking in front of hundreds of people without a sweat.
That's amazing! I went from being anxious to be able to approach anyone to interviewing celebrities in Hollywood and giving free hugs across the world. Now, we both co-host a podcast where we interview amazing human beings.
Which is something I would have been terrified to do in the past.
And while we aren't battling social anxiety like we used to, we still have mental health that we work to improve every single day.
That's why we created this podcast, to be able to provide valuable information to you on how to feel the best you can, and also normalize the conversation around mental health, because we all have mental health.
And if I don't take care of my mental health, I'm not being the best version of myself.
Same here. We all need to take care of our mental health, and the Social Ninjas podcast is here to help you do just that.
A quick note. We are not health professionals, and what we say should not be used in place of or replacement of medication or your doctor.
Enjoy the show! All right. Well, I'm a drink of water, but I'm going to make it through. Okay.
We are the Social Ninjas. I am Jeremy. Joined, as always, is Kyle. We also have a... What's up, Kyle?
What's up? Thought you were going to gloss by me, but I made it.
No. You are seen. You are loved. But also, we have a very special guest today, don't we, Sarah?
Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys are awesome. I feel like we've been jamming already for your listeners have missed out on some pretty fun stuff prior to. We should have pressed record the minute that the Zoom started.
Oh,
it's funny how many times we've heard that.
just saying. I mean, really, like, hold on, keep listening, because that if it's anything like that first few minutes, then I'm pretty sure this is going to be pretty amazing. So.
You're right. I'm not going to lie to you. You're right. All right. So, Sarah,
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and a little bit about your background?
So I am a professional coach. I am a life and leadership coach. I am also a survivor myself of relational and betrayal trauma. I'm 46, single mom of three sons. And I guide men and women on transformational retreats in the Grand Canyon. So I also am a wilderness guide. I take people down into the Grand Canyon. We do a lot of coaching, a lot of meditating, breath work. I believe in the power of nature therapy. I'm also a TED Talk. I'm a few things. So then I do, yeah. I am a few things. I know that. I've done a TED Talk on forgiveness. I believe really, really deeply on the power of forgiveness. And my book is coming out called Walk Through This, Harness the Healing Power of Nature and Travel the Road to Forgiveness, November 10th, the week after the elections. So let's just talk about that. Forgiveness after the election. I gotta tell you, it's pretty amazing. We're doing a documentary right now too. So we've 10 women have filmed inside the Grand Canyon. It's about my life story in healing through nature therapy. And also through forgiveness. And we filmed in the Grand Canyon over Thanksgiving, 10 women, first time ever. So there's been a lot of firsts in my life over the last 6 years, a lot of firsts, which has been really freaking rad.
Yeah. And now it's your first time on a Social Ninjas podcast.
It's my first time. Where does it go from here?
Only up. And now you have our support.
Oh, I love it.
So let's get into it. Like, what was the trauma that happened? You're open to talking about it. Totally no pressure.
Absolutely. So I've actually lived through a multitude of them. It started at 17. When I was 17 years old, I was raped by somebody I knew. And I had a child out of that. And the police, I went to the police, tried to press charges, and they would not press charges. And he ended up trying to do it again to at least one person that I know of. And so it was really a devastating, difficult time, obviously, in my life. I was born and raised in a very small town called Black Earth, Wisconsin, population of like 1,100 people. So it was super, super small. And there was just a lot of, you know, there was a lot of trauma through that time in my life. My family, they were amazing. They supported me. I decided it was my choice to actually keep my child. And then I went to college. I actually went straight into college at 17, raising a son and working full time. And then I met my husband while I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we instantly fell in love. He was my everything. We became best friends. And I don't know what else to say except that, you know, we just like literally the very first year that we were together, it was amazing. It was incredible. And then we moved all over, had two more sons. And then I found out 6 years ago, Thanksgiving, that he was betraying me for most of my marriage with men. And then he ended up coming out as gay. It was over the course of 5 days, went like found everything out, dove deep into what had been happening in his life and what caused him to lead a double life. And remember, I have three children at home, right? And I'm, you know, I used to be a teacher. I then was a stay-at-home mom, and my entire life like just was thrown upside down. And then, you know, I really went back to when I was 17 and used a lot of what I learned at 17 to then recover at the age of 40. I was 40 when this happened, to really be able to dive into, well, how am I going to do this? And it was really about walking through my trauma, walking through what had been happening, walking through the pain, ultimately finding forgiveness. I think that was the biggest thing for me. It was like, even back at 17, I knew that I had one of two options: hold on to the toxicity and live my life in fear, regret, pain, pissed off, anger, rage, sadness, or make a choice to eventually get to that space of acceptance, peace, forgiveness, love. Ultimately, it's to love. Like, to me, forgiveness leads to love. And it's love of self and love of others and love of the world. And so, yeah. And then I ended up starting my business because people were noticing how happy I was. And they were like, how the hell are you doing this? Because this is abnormal. Like, you're experiencing complex PTSD and you're recovering really quick. What's happening? And then I went into one, I had one woman who said to me, my coach at the time was like, you gotta do something with this and help other people. And so we ultimately, like, looking through like what was helping me, it was the nature therapy piece and then the somatic healing piece with my therapist. And then I started my business and went into doing what I do today. And I freaking love it. And I'm happy. And life is great. 2020 is a little wacky. It's like living in a light speed weird zone. But here I am, you know?
Do you forgive 2020?
That's hilarious, because I was laying in bed one night. I was like, this is like living in the Twilight Zone. It like literally is like living in the Twilight Zone. I was like, what is going on here? And yes, I do forgive 2020. I do forgive 2020.
So jokes aside, forgiving for me is very hard.
Yeah, well, it is for most people.
So how do you do it when it's really challenging? What does it do when you finally do it?
Well, it's so interesting because I think, you know, when I was talking to somebody about doing the TED Talk, I was actually, a friend of mine contacted the executive producer at TEDx and said, hey, you know, talk to Sarah, like she should be on stage and you should be having her, you know, to be up there and to speak her truth. And when I was talking to her, she was like, well, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. I could talk about milk. Like, I don't know. What do you want me to talk about? Like, there's so many things, right?
Yeah.
I was like, nature therapy. Do you want me to talk about coaching? Do you want me to talk about like parenting through trauma? Like, I mean, there's a number of things. And we ultimately, she had already gone through something herself very deep, and it's not my story to tell, but she'd gone through something very, very deep. And she was asking me like, how did you get to this place? I triggered something in the conversation that made her say, all right, it triggered something within her of like, well, how the hell did you get there? Like, how do you get to being so happy when you've lived through everything? And I was like, well, I just forgive. And then we looked up Webster's Dictionary, and it made me realize how much society teaches us that in order to forgive, we have to forget. And I was like, that's bullshit. Like, sorry, can I say that? Like, okay, so that's bullshit. Like, you should not have to forget what happened to you. It's about accepting it. You're not condoning the actions, but you're literally saying like, I'm not going to hold on to this pain anymore. And I'm going to hand it back to the person that literally handed it to me without me even asking for it. And then be able to step into that place of peace and freedom. So there's a lot of steps to it. And that's why I wrote the book, because I was realizing how many people were having just a lot of difficulty with it. Yeah. Uh-oh. What was that? Oh, that was mine. Sorry. That was mine.
That was me.
Was that you?
Please. I don't know. I know I've heard that.
Cellular electronic devices.
Don't take that out, please. Because to be honest with you.
Thank you for turning off your...
I was doing a podcast with Tim Story. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's like a really amazing human being. And to get him on a bad podcast was like huge. And my phone started going off. My computer started. I was like, I don't know what's going on, Tim. Like, kept it all in there. I was like, whatever. It's real life, right?
No, I think this makes us human.
Well, and
it adds humanity.
Yeah, yep. Authenticity. And we don't like to edit anyways. It's really a pain in the butt. So we'll keep it in.
Yeah, go ahead, Kyle.
My question is, I know I've seen a lot of people in my life, and probably me myself, I just can't think of an example right now, but of wondering, like, why should I forgive? Like, you know, they don't deserve forgiveness, or, you know, that type of situation. I know I've heard that a lot. And so I kind of wonder what your response is to somebody listening and like, you know, I'm not forgiving that person, like they don't deserve it or whatever it may be.
Well, that's so interesting. It's never about them. Point blank, period, point blank. That is my answer. It's never about them. You're not forgiving somebody for them. You're forgiving them for yourself. And so if somebody is having a hard time forgiving, or if you're looking at somebody and saying like, they don't deserve my forgiveness, ultimately it doesn't matter about them anyhow. It's only about yourself. And so I always say, you know, if you're needing to forgive somebody, it's probably because you're holding on to, or having to hold, past memories or past emotions, you know, emotions of like anger, like literally like toxic emotions that will eat your body up. It's known trauma will hurt. It literally will like destroy your body. And so it's about handing all of that back so that you're not holding on to anything but what you choose. It's not about them. I mean, you know, I always say like in my own case, I wanted to get to forgiveness with my ex-husband because I wanted him to also be healthy himself. And so I wanted me to be able to be in the same place with him because he is the father of my children. And I wanted him to be the best version of himself so that he can parent our kids in a way that I also want him to be able to parent. And for my kids to be able to have the best parent possible. And so when I chose to forgive him, it wasn't only for me, it was for him too. But if you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, it's not, and if you're like, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Yeah, but you deserve peace and freedom. Right? And so you deserve to live in happiness. You don't deserve to continuously live in toxicity, in the emotions of rage, anger, sadness, and all the other things. You don't deserve that. None of us do. None of us do. Right? And so that's why for me, I mean, there are plenty of people in my life where I've struggled with that, where I've been like, well, do you really deserve my forgiveness? Well, it's not even about that. Like, it's about, I deserve to be happy. So,
yeah, it reminds me of the old quote, like it's hating someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to be poisoned.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
So what comes to mind for me is, yeah, theoretically, just forgive them. I get it. But is there like an actual hands-on way to forgive someone?
So when I choose to forgive, when I was making the choices, I'll give you one thing that happened to me. Yes. So, and I talk to people about this, like even those people that have passed, you can still forgive those people too. So if there's somebody in your life that isn't even here, where you're not even physically able to look at them and say, I forgive you, it doesn't matter. Like you can still forgive somebody through a letter, through just closing your eyes and making the intentional act of saying, I'm forgiving you right now. I'm forgiving you. And remember, like I do this every damn day. This is not just like, oh, I forgive you. Let's wipe this slate clean and be done with it. Like I do this every single day of choosing to sit in the act of forgiveness. But when I was, I guess it was a couple years into everything, and I made the intentional decision to drive up to Northern California and face two people. Well, one person at that time that really had hurt me deeply, and he had had relations with my ex-husband, and he was also a friend of mine at the time. And I made the decision on the way up to Northern, 6-hour drive, made the decision on the way up, like went through my process of, I need to be safe when I see him. I'm going to have, like I wrote the script in my head of, I'm going to, you know, I forgive you. Here's why. And I write about this in my book, the entire script of what I use, but it's really about just saying to them, like, what you did is wrong and I didn't deserve this. And so here's what I'm handing back to you because I don't deserve to hold the pain that you handed to me. I shouldn't have to do that. And so it's, and I, when I do it, I literally like, cause a lot of times I hold things on my shoulders. Like I know where the weight lies for me. And it's usually on my shoulders and in my back, which then extends down into my lower back. I know my body very, very well now just because of trauma. And so, we know where things are. Like when I get my intuitive hits, I know where my intuitive hits come from now because I know my body so well. So when I had to forgive this particular person, I literally took like the weight off of my shoulders and handed back. I literally took my hands and like, it was as if I was, it made it look like I was actually taking off, I don't know, like a backpack. And I literally handed it back to him. And I said, there you go. Have fun with that. I'm not holding it anymore. His reaction was really interested. It was interesting. He was very like, wow. It took him by surprise, which I mean, I guess it would me too if I just showed up. So if somebody showed up on my doorstep and was like, I'm going to forgive you now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Wasn't expecting that. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I do write about that in my book and I do put a script in there as well. And what to do. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So what's the significance of actually, I don't know how you say it, but you know, grabbing the weight off your shoulders and actually handing it over to the person.
So a lot of people, especially if you've been traumatized in your life, it's very physical. Like trauma, it sits in different parts of our body. That's very physical. And so it's almost like by acting something out, it gives it more validity. Right. And it's almost like there's more of a intentional act behind it. And so that's why when I do stuff, I mean, I'm a very physical person anyhow. And so when I do stuff, that's why I will, it's almost like acting it out, right? Like a person who's on stage is going to probably do a little bit more. It's going to make more of a presence by actually like using your hands and doing it, right? And so it's the same thing. Like, I don't know. I was an art major too, so maybe that has something to do with it, but that's always worked for me.
Yeah. Oh, so you've done everything.
I've done a few things.
When I was a PhD in this,
I got
a PhD
no, that in I this, was not. I just tell people, actually, I do write in my book. I say, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a doctor, but my life, I write something to the effect of like my life has become a book of like, it's like a book of knowledge. It's like, this is real life. So, I mean, yeah, because I have had a lot of experiences, but you know, it's okay. It's good. Right. That's what living is.
Yeah, I agree. That's, yeah. I like what you said about forgiveness is like a process. So I did, like, I tried to forgive someone one time. Like, I forgive you. I was like, oh, no, I don't. Like,
I take it back.
You were awful towards me.
I've done that to my ex-husband, too. I've never actually taken it back, but I've said to him, like, I'm really having a trouble with forgiveness today. Like, I've actually told him that. Like, I'm having a hard time today with this, and here's why. You know, I've learned the power of communication.
Tell me about that.
The power of communication. Well, you know, and this is where it gets really, I know that this part of the book is a little bit, it's like, whoa, seriously. I really don't like judgment. And yes, there's judgment that we need to be doing to keep us safe. On the flip side of it, I prefer to look at people and see people through a clear lens of love, in place of judgment, right? And through that, you get you can have conversations that are more open, that are more, I don't know, you're not protecting yourself. It's not like this feeling of like constantly having to protect and to come from a defensive side. Mm-hmm. And so now last night, my ex-husband was over because it was my son's birthday and we had dinner at my place and I had to pull him aside and have a conversation with him. And I'm sure some people would see it as a very heated conversation, but we go through our little like waves of, and we know what our waves are in order before we finally get to that end result of like, okay, we are in agreeance. You know, we see each other. And so, and we never end it until we get to that place. I don't like ending conversations in confrontation. It just does not work well because then both people
angry.
Both people leave angry and it's like, what the hell? Like, why do you want to do that? And so being able to show up from a place of pure love and it's like acceptance is, you know, that's or non-judgment, I should say. That's the way that I choose to have my conversations with people.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
for me personally, it has to come. I've had so many conversations on judgments. Like every human has a judgment, and I think what's important is just being open to challenging your judgments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like make it fun. Like what's up, Brainy? You have a judgment? Ooh, this is a fun opportunity to challenge it.
I mean, look at right now where we're at right now. Right, I just got off doing a podcast, recording a podcast, And interestingly enough, I was very upfront with this friend of mine. And I told him, I said, and he didn't even know this. I said, and he works in business when it comes to, I don't know exactly. He does a bunch of different stuff, wrote a book. He's just an amazing human being. But anyhow, so one of the things I told him was my husband, during those 17 years, he was sleeping with black men. And so it for me was like putting myself up against a mirror again and saying like, wow, okay, where's the internal conversation that now I have to have with myself because of everything that he did. And then also being able to look and just say like, it's not the entire race. Like my husband decided to have a lot of relations with people that, you know, they weren't, it was a very down low situation. It was not a safe situation whatsoever, not safe at all. And he put himself in some very dangerous situations, which ultimately put me in some very dangerous situations. And so, yeah, I mean, it's the time right now to really have these conversations of self-judgment, external judge, you know, internal and external judgment. Cause I hate judgment, dude. I hate it. I've been judged so many times in my life. Freaking hate it. It just it drives me nuts.
Well, to be fair, there's some judgments that are good, like don't touch a really, really hot stove.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Judgments for safety are amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, like when I'm, and I talk about that, like when I'm guiding in the Grand Canyon, I'm making judgments continuously because I need to keep everybody safe. Right. And it's like, and I want to make sure everybody's at the place that as we're going through the work, I have to be making judgments, but judgments on race, on sexuality, on like, I mean, come on. Like I just, judgments on what I look like, you look like, or whatever, where I live, what car I drive, you know, do I wear all the rings? Am I dressed in Louis Vuitton? It's just like, come on.
Yeah. I think
that's the stuff that I just really, I butt up against that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, in my opinion, there needs to be a separation between judgment and self.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, like, for example, instead of saying that person's racist, you say that person has racist thoughts.
Yep.
So then it gives the person an opportunity to change their judgments.
Yep.
Because as soon as you label them racist, they're like, I'm racist. I'm not even going to, like, try to, like, process these nonsense judgments.
Right. Right. That's really good. Yep. 1000%. And in terms of, like, communication, and I am the way that I am, and I will be 1000% honest with everybody on this one, because of my kids. Because I love my kids that much, and I needed to do a lot of internal work throughout my life, even just making the choice at 17 to have my son. It was like, I could have turned into a very toxic, angry young woman. I could have been pissed off at everybody, the world, right? I mean, I had people, I had, you know, a social worker that made plans for my son to be adopted out without even telling me. And I had to, like, fight that. Like, I've had to fight a lot of things in my life. And it's just interesting because communication, it always comes back to my kids and making sure that I'm having the internal conversations in order to have the external conversations with them. Because I want them to, like, be free to be who they need to be, who they want to be, who they choose to be, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I can relate a lot to that, that's for sure.
You can. Yeah.
The biggest motivation factor to, like, work on yourself, like, making sure you're being 100% you and, like, the most optimal you can be.
Yeah.
Because they're probably mirroring you like crazy. So, like, oh, you better be real.
They call me out on Monday.
Yeah, what you do in front of
they
them?
They call me out. Oh, yes, they do. How old are your kids?
My oldest is 6, and I have a 4 and then a 2-year-old next month.
Okay.
No, this month, sorry. I forgot it was June.
That's awesome. Mine are 28, 19, and almost 29, 19, 14.
Wow.
So yeah, they're getting up there. And I ultimately, like, I just want them to be the best leaders in the world that they can. So great change.
I want to hear more about the nature, healing through nature.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of want some nature right now. I'm not going to lie, Sarah. Can we go?
Let's just take this to the trail or on the ocean.
Let's hold on, Kyle. I got
left out.
Let's go. Let's do a podcast from the Grand Canyon.
Dude, I am all for that. I actually have not recorded one from the Grand Canyon, but that's always my intention.
We have a new first.
You have a new first. Let's do it.
Oh, man.
So anyways, yeah, healing through nature. Let's hear about that.
Oh, gosh. Well, so when I was, it all started because when I was first, like, going through this whole, like, this trauma, like, I was major PTSD, I would grab my paddleboard and go out onto the ocean, and I would paddle 4 miles offshore and just, like, with whales and dolphins and look in the eyes of them. And
sounds fantastic.
It did not suck. I mean, my...
It wasn't the worst, Jeremy.
It did not suck. I mean, it's that or sit in a room in 4 walls and try and work through your shit. Like, what would you choose? You know, and in all honesty, like, that is what I would do. Not every day, but a good 5 days a week, I was on the water. And that, or else I was on trails, you know, hiking or running or just, you know, the green belt here in Hermosa, whatever. But it was a time for me to get to find clarity and to release my anger and everything that was, like, literally, because it's like poison. I don't even know how to explain it. I told somebody else this. I was like, the guy that I was on the podcast with before, I said, racism to me is like poison running through your veins. And that's what I felt like the trauma was for me too. It's like this continual feeling of just, I don't know, disgust. right? Like and hate and just all the, I don't know, like pain so much, right? And so I could feel it, and it sucks because I know what's on the other side of it. And I was just trying to get it out of me. And so I would take my paddleboard on the water. I would pound the shit out of the ocean, like literally take my paddle and I'd be pounding it. I'd cry. I would talk into my phone because I would like literally like hold my phone and I couldn't journal. So I would just talk into it and like, this is how I'm feeling right now. Just to get it out. And I would talk to myself. I would talk to the dolphins. I got lost out there in fog a few times on my way in, you know,
Sarah, it nature. I'm talking about nature now.
Yeah, it is nature.
Oh, okay. You can talk about like a Grand Canyon and like,
oh, I can talk about growth. But here's the thing is that people think that like you have to go do like the Grand Canyon. Like they're like, oh, well, is that the ultimate of nature? Well, nature's everywhere. Like you can go on the trail and pick up a butterfly and that's nature. But the thing that nature does for you is that it gives you the ultimate state of awe. And then when you're in the ultimate state of awe, that's where PTSD actually will lessen. Like the state of awe will lessen your PTSD more than any emotion at all. And so that's why it's so important for me to actually like, that's why all this works, right? Because you are giving your brain a chance to shift. Your frontal lobe, the network system in your brain, which is what we're using right now, just talking on a screen, which is the frontal part of your brain. I know, right? You're hilarious. It's always on. And that's also where we are trying to troubleshoot and fix problems and make sense of our life and do all the things. And when we are in nature, that gives time to rest. And the back part of our brain, which is like the default network, that's where we have peace, that's where we have clarity, and that's what rises forward. So nature literally will transform your brain. And anybody that's lived through trauma brain, it's a real thing.
Sarah, I gotta
turn that off.
Sarah,
yeah,
right now.
I honestly, you guys, I'm not mad at you.
I don't know how to do technology. I'm very disappointed.
I don't know how to do technology. I've never had calls come through. How do you?
Hey, Sarah, you're better than that.
I'm trying not to pass judgment right now.
Sarah, you literally just grab the thing and you click it to.
No, it's in my computer.
Oh.
I don't know how to turn that off. That's why I never have, because I don't know. I seriously don't know how to turn it off.
Okay, but I know what you mean. Like, one of my little, I did a two day bike ride in Taiwan, and I had some of those like tears of joy moments where I'm like, this
amazing.
This is awesome. And like nature and just like Aboriginal, and I was like the beaches. Oh,
it's awesome. And the thing that's really interesting is that, like, you know, in trauma brain, I don't know if you're familiar with any of Bessel van der Kolk's work, The Body Keeps a Score.
But yeah, I literally had this talk today.
Did you?
No, someone was telling, like, we had a conversation about Body Keeps a Score. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
So Bessel van der Kolk talks about how in order to shift the what has happened in our brain, our trauma brain moments, like, because trauma brain, we hold moments in our past. Every single moment in our present, like, we are making sense of because of our past. Well, if we get triggered or anything, we're trying to make sense of our present moment based on past occurrences that for many of us, like me, don't make sense, because my husband was supposed to be married to me, not having relations with other people, right? And so in that moment, when you're triggered, you literally will go through a state of, that's your fight or flight. That's where your amygdala goes off. That's where you're sitting there going, trying to make sense of it. You want to fight what's happening at the moment. And at the same time, you want to flee, but yet you want to be hugged by the person who hurt you most. And so, which you can't do that either. Oh, you can, but it doesn't help. And so there's, Bessel van der Kolk talks about, in order to shift our brain in our present moment, or to shift our brain, we have to live most alive and feel most alive in our present moment. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Richard Louvre, which, are you familiar with Richard Louvre at all? Richard Louvre talks about nature deficit disorder. He's a best-selling author as well. And he talks about how our society is moving away from nature. But what's most interesting is he also talks about how where we feel most alive is in nature.
So
you got two people, right? And this is what I wrote about in my book. You got two people You've got Richard Louv saying, you feel most alive in nature. And you've got Bessel van der Kolk saying, in order to shift our brain and to heal from our deepest traumas, we have to feel most alive in the present moment. So, duh, where do you think you're going to go? In nature.
Nature, yeah. That's crazy. So, The Nature Deficit Disorder, what was the other book? Oh, Body Keeps the Score.
Body Keeps the Score, yeah. Yeah. And so, it's that's why I don't do technology, but if you need me to climb a peak, I will.
I know what you mean. Like, I've had literally some of my happiest treasure moments in nature, so I identify with that.
Well, and if you, and so then, I mean, there's a whole, like, we go way, way, way into it, but they've done research studies now at UC Berkeley where they've talked about how if you are, they've taken people who have struggled with PTSD and they've taken them into the wild for a week, and their PTSD symptoms dropped by 29%.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoa, right? And so, and what's most interesting is, you know, just 5 minutes a day in nature will start to shift your brain. And so why we continuously live in four walls, go into four walls, to drive to four walls, to work out in four walls, to be in four walls, it's like, wait a second. You could be working out, exercising, and doing a mental clarity check and healing and psychologically going deep outside for free.
I literally, I'm having these aha moments right now. Like, I went to Yosemite. I had, like, when I turned 25, I had, like, one of these quarter life crises, and then went to Yosemite solo for 3 days, and I came home just, like, fired up and just ready. Now that I look back, when I went to Mount Everest, when I went to Freudian slip, Kyle and I are planning it. Anyways, when I did, when I went to the Matterhorn in Switzerland, I was just, like, so satisfied and happy. I made just emotional, vulnerable videos of, like, all my loved ones. Like, I love you so much. You do this. I just didn't care about it. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, because
there is a shift.
There's a massive shift. You're not boarded up. And I'm talking, like, physically boarded up, emotionally boarded up, mentally, like, everything. You're not guarded. You're literally out there. Like, that's where you are. I mean, listen, I could go so deep. Like, I've manifested some pretty rad stuff on trails too. And so, and I believe, like, we are energetically, I truly believe we are energetically connected to the earth. And when you can truly align every piece of yourself, body, mind, spirit, soul, with what's happening, you know, our nature world, that's like spirit working at its best. You know, you are like, it's like, I can't even explain it. It's like, you will have things happen to you that you're just like, whoa. I mean, like, life is amazing. And so
I've had that.
Yeah.
It's so rad. It's like, and I feel for people, like, I'm always encouraging people, get outside, do it. And it doesn't mean that you have to go on a trail. Like, I'm actually hiking the John Muir Trail this year. I know I'm pretty stoked, but it doesn't mean you have to go, like, on a trail for 22 days. Like, you can go. I one day, I was really struggling. I was just having one of those days where I was just like, man, my life, what the hell? And I went up to the Greenbelt, like, up here in Hermosa, and I just started to, I believe really deeply in my angels. Like, I have, like, angel guides. Like, and I call on my angel guides when I'm in the middle of nowhere. Like, protect me, take care of me. You know, spirits within the canyon, I can feel them. But I was out there, I was sitting on the Greenbelt. I just, like, had a conversation with my grandparents, and this butterfly came out of nowhere and literally landed in my hand and sat there for 10 minutes to the point I was sitting there, like, having a conversation with this butterfly, literally, like, and it sounds really crazy, but it's not, because we are so connected. Right. And so, and I finally was like, dude, I got to go. I've got a child to pick up from school. And I, like, literally had to, like, put him down, flick him away. Like, I got responsibility, like enough already, you know, but really we are so connected. And when we can get to that place of ultimate awe, you know, everything in your brain shifts. That's trauma healing at its best, which leads also to forgiveness and love.
Kyle, do you have a question on her morning routine?
Sure I do, since you're just throwing it out there. before I get into that, you were talking about aha moments, and I was thinking I had the same thing, and I didn't realize it until you were just talking about it, is I just started going and mountain biking with my dad, I don't know, like a year or two ago. It's something you should try to do on weekends. And yeah, I never realized it, but yeah, there's just something about it. Just being out there, I just feel like so good during and afterwards. And it's just amazing. And like I said, I'm not doing like a multi-day like trek or anything like that. Just like out biking for like a couple hours and you still get that same effect. It's amazing.
It's rad. It's so cool.
So yeah, I do have a question about morning routine. Jeremy knows I'm...
I love me.
Oh my god, I say that all the time. Are you freaking killing me? I literally say that. I was like, always, I'm like, I love me. I say that all the time.
Self five.
Yeah. Hilarious. You're the only other person I've ever heard say that. Literally, I say that all the time. Like, I love me. That's awesome. Sorry. Okay, going back to morning routine.
Nope.
I'm back.
Let me mute Jeremy for a second so I can get my question. So anyways, huge advocate for morning routines. My morning routine has literally changed my life. It's been amazing just having the simple, how either complex or simple it is. It's so helpful. And so I kind of wonder what your morning routine is. And I kind of want to pair that with a question I had earlier, and I just now remembered again, as you talked about how you forgive on a daily basis. Is that part of your morning routine? Can you go into a little bit of that?
No, that's interesting. Yeah, it is. Like every morning that I wake up, well, my mornings, like I have my kids here too. So my mornings have been whacked out. I will tell you. Oh man. It's like, and like yesterday I went to go on the water and I got text messages, hey, can you make me breakfast? And I was like, I'm on the water. And then like three calls in the matter of 2 miles out, like, where's the baking powder? Where the, like seriously. So my morning routine is, when I wake up, it's always in gratitude. Like that's just far none in gratitude. Feet don't hit the floor until I think about like the things that I'm grateful for in that day. And in that, it's also gratitude leads to joy. I'm sure you probably have heard Brene Brown, gratitude leads to joy. And I also believe that it also, in all of that, it leads to forgiveness. Like in ultimate forgiveness, you are in ultimate love and joy, right? And peace. And so that's why I always start with gratitude. I make a daily, what's the word I'm looking for? A daily promise to myself that there is forgiveness and that that's where I want to be every day. Like by the end of the day, ultimate forgiveness, ultimate peace. So that's my process every day. And usually three mornings a week, I try to hit the water. That doesn't always happen. Not when you're writing a book. If I don't hit the water to paddle, then I go for a run or try to do something outside. And then I walk my three-legged tripod dog all the time too. He's my love. So aww. Yeah, I know. He's like my resilient little pooch. So it's cool. He gets me out. That's about it. It's not that deep. And I make coffee.
Coffee? Got you coffee?
And I got my coffee.
I have not had coffee in a while. And I had coffee today. This is all I've had, and I am cracked out.
I'm sure you are.
Because, like, my tolerance came back. I know, I'm steering away from the conversation. This makes me think of, so you talk about gratitude, and you talk about forgiveness. There's this meditation I did as part of a Vipassana meditation retreat. And what you do is you send love first to those you actually really love and yourself, as like so much love to yourself. And then you really deep dig into that. Let me know what you think of this. And then you go ahead and you throw all sorts of love to the people you don't like and the people you hate and all that stuff. You just like force yourself to send all the love to them. And it's very cathartic.
I did a lot of that when I was in my deepest forgiveness phase. that was always. And I do that when I'm butted up against somebody that, you know, is throwing me anger. I always say put a veil of protection over yourself and send them as much love as you can, because they need it. Like be good with that.
Yes.
You know,
I had a lady yelling at me one time, and I remember saying to her, "Hey, listen, I understand you're upset. I hope yelling at me made you feel better. I really do."
That's awesome. I once had a client that was really pissed at me, and I hugged her and I wouldn't let go. And eventually she finally went from anger to sadness and crying. And she was like, "Oh my gosh." And then it was like, you just feel everything just come out of her body. Right. And like,
yeah, 'cause sadness is underneath anger always.
Absolutely.
And not always, but it's also shame sometimes. Well,
right. Right. But then it was just like, wow. Okay. Wow. And she said like, that was the most powerful hug. Yep. Yeah. Love is great.
You have a call in like 6 minutes. So, okay. Kyle, do you want to ask the question?
The question. We need to get a cool like sound bite for that. That's our next thing.
If you wait long enough, a phone call will come through. No, that will be the sound bite.
The question. Okay, the question. If you had the ability to send a message to everyone in the world, what would it be? You can take a moment. Not too long, though.
Gosh, you know, I would say work on forgiveness, because it is for you, and it is the ultimate. It is the ultimate freedom in living your life by choice. Like it is, there's nothing like it. And I say that only with hesitancy, because we're at a time right now where there's just so much happening. But ultimately I think that when we get to that inner space of forgiveness for self first, forgiveness for others second, and forgiveness for the world, life will it'll just transcend. It just transcends.
Love it.
Yeah. That's it. That's what I would give you.
Awesome. Got it written down here.
And I always talk about like forgiveness is for, you always start with forgiveness for self, and then it's forgiveness for others, and then it's forgiveness for the world. People were like, forgiveness for the world. I'm like, dude, this world needs forgiveness. We need a lot of forgiveness in this world. Oh. Yeah.
So say someone wants to like find you on social media, where could they find you?
My name, Sarah Schulten-Kranz. Literally, it's like everything. Everything is under my name. Finally, I switched everything over like 8 months ago, or I don't even know how many months ago, but yeah. On Instagram, Sarah Schulten-Kranz. And I do not have an H at the end of my Sarah. Just have to verify it. Just like, you know, let everybody know that. Instagram, I'm on Facebook. You can find me under my Sarah Schulten-Kranz. My website is my name. You can find the documentary under Walk Through This. It's also, there's a link in my homepage of my website as well. And the book is on pre-order right now through Harper Horizon, Harper Collins. And it's, you can get it pretty much anywhere. So, and it's Walk Through This, Harness, you know, we talked about that, but yep, everything is there.
Beautiful.
Go ahead, have fun with it. I was like, find so many cool things in my website now. It's like pretty rad. It's pretty fun. Ooh. I know. Article, like all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, you guys, you're awesome.
I forgive you for your phone going off.
Same.
And I forget 2020.
Yeah. And if you liked this episode and you like our episodes in general, don't forget to subscribe and share it with your friends.
Oh, I will be. You send me all the mojo stuff and I 1000% will be putting
and
it over.
Share it with your enemies as well.
Maybe, I don't have
maybe
enemies.
Even more.
I don't have any enemies. I'm like, I don't even know. Like frenemies.
I'm being silly.
If I got
kind of true. I'll never forget. One time someone was being really mean to me, and I responded with thank you so much for your energy.
What'd you get in return?
Nothing. They didn't know what to do. They're like just confused. Oh, they're confused.
Because I usually get back, oh, I'm so sorry. All the time. Send him love, you will get back, I'm sorry.
Yeah, coming from a place of love. I do that sometimes. Take a breath, wait for fight or flight to turn off, and then just like fight him with love.
Yep, always. 1000% always. Yeah.
All right. You're
awesome. Thank you for having me on. Can I take a picture really quick?
No. Yes.
Please.